Hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming on back to another episode of Energy the Untamed Heart. My guest this morning is Colleen Greco. She is a joyologist. I love that word, a joyologist. It's just so perfectly descriptive of what it is. Hey guys, you're listening to the Energy of the Untamed Heart podcast, where we talk about uncaging your divinely gifted wild heart to be as free and expansive as you were born to be. My goal is to use our stories, guest interviews, and your questions to tease out what has been keeping your wild heart under wraps. I'm your host, Miel Fox, and together, we will shatter the myths of our old stories to set our wild heart free. So thanks for choosing you and showing up today.
So we're going to jump right into our convo because Colleen has been through it all and come out the other side and has so much wisdom to share with everybody. So let's do the thing. Good morning, Colleen.
Hello, and thank you for having me. And what a nice intro. I don't know what I did to deserve it, but the check is in the mail.
Hey, thanks. I love it. So I'm so glad you came on this morning. I think we're recording this in December, which I think right now is especially can be a difficult time for a lot of people. With all the things going on in the world, there's an awful lot going on in the world. And then we add to it and throw in a little holiday exhaustion from whatever your choice of holiday is. And I find that instead of just leaning into the joyology of the holidays, we get tangled up in the non-joyology of the holidays. And so that being said, could you share with us what joyology means for you and how do you bring that forward daily to help other people?
That's a great question. When I came up with the term, because I came up with it. So I'm one of one, as far as I know, and the trademark application is in some queue somewhere in the US Patent and Trademark Office. So anyway, I felt that I needed an umbrella term that kind of encapsulates everything I do. So I'm a nutrition coach. I do mindset coaching. I am a certified personal trainer. I don't do a lot of that, but I do advise people, hey, if this is what you're interested in, let me help you with some sort of a workout. And I'm also, you know, as we were talking offline, a TV show host and a podcaster. So I feel like I do a lot of things, but everything I do is firmly rooted in joy. And that is so important to me, to my core, like in my soul. And so I was out on a walk one day and I was like, just kept coming back to joyologist. Am I a joy architect? Am I a joy, whatever that like the, I, all these words kept popping up and I'm like, it's just joyologist. That's what it is. My husband gets really aggravated with me. He's like, nobody's going to know what that means. And I said, that's the point. They're like, tell me more because that is, it's a term that you want to be connected to. So I didn't initially start out with it to be like a marketing ploy, but it kind of worked out that way. And really it's seeing the good in everything, right? I was talking to somebody last week about toxic positivity. That isn't what this is. I don't live in a bubble. I still have, you know, things going on in my life that are less than desirable, but I choose to look at the good things. For example, we're in Boston. This morning, I think it was 20 something, 22, 23 degrees, a little chilly, right? And I have to go walk the dogs. Am I excited about this? No, but are they adorable? Yes. And so both are true that it's freezing and it's miserable, but I'm out with my dogs and they're, you know, they're entertaining and adorable. So which one gets my energy? So that's, that to me really like signifies or personifies what joy means and what joyology is all about. I'm choosing to give my energy towards the goofy dogs and they make me happy.
I love this. So I'm giggling. I'm so glad we're only on audio because I'm just over here giggling to myself. So, and I'll share this with the listeners because it's funny. It's like funny, not funny. So originally I'm an East Coast girl and I was raised in a suburb about 12 or so miles west of Boston. And I spent the majority of my education in Boston before I left. And now I live about 3.5 hours north of you. And I just giggle because you're like, it's cold and it's 20. And I'm thinking 20 is a heat wave for us, but okay. But same thing. I'm like, okay, been there, done that. And the other thing for people who don't live up in our neck of the woods, there's lots of different kinds of cold. We have dry cold and wet cold, depending on the humidity in the air. And I will confess wholeheartedly, if you're a Bostonian, wet cold, damp cold, because it's proximal to the water, is it gets into your bones a whole lot quicker and deeper than dry cold. So that's just an aside in case anybody's wondering if they want to come north and live this far north in the winter, choose your cold. That being said, it's like, choose your hard. It's like, choose your joy, choose your, what do you want to lean into? What I love, I mean, it's a little bit of a squirrel moment and down, you know, off the rails, but what I love is that it really emphasizes the capacity we all have for choice. We're all going to go through things that aren't great and things that are great. And you're not going to have, every day is not going to be the rainbow walk. And every event is not going to be, oh, let me live in, you know, high vibration, la-di-la-di, and I'm floating on clouds all day. No, we're humans. We're going to have real life experiences. And some days are just plain old going to be difficult. You can choose your difficult. You can choose to complain that it's cold and you have to put a scarf and a hat on, or you can choose your joy that you get to show off your nice, pretty new hat you just got downtown with your cutie little dogs and their matching jackets and all the thing. So you can choose it. And I love that you reiterate this. I think it's just so key that one, being in joy and aligning with joy, which to me is our birthright, by the way. I feel that joy, passion, and abundance is our birthright. But I also truly feel that you have to choose it, because we spend a lot of time hiding behind a variety of facades that we tell ourselves we don't deserve it, but we do. So I love the fact that you are choosing to identify yourself as a joyologist, and the sciencey side of me, we all know anything that ends in ology is the study of, or the educating yourself about. So biology is the study of how things work biologically and in and around the earth. You know, psychology, the study of what goes on in your psyche and mind. So joyology, the study and an experiential event of joy. And I love that you've created this line for yourself. So, and I giggled when you said, your husband says no one will understand. I'm like, you ask any woman out there what joyology means. She'll be like, oh yeah, sign me up. I got this. Oh yeah, we get it.
I was going to say, I don't have the heart to go back to him and be like, everybody loves it.
Right? Like, honey, everybody gets it. I don't have to explain it to anybody. Everybody gets it. Why do we get it? Here's why I think we get it. Because when something aligns with the way your heart wants to speak to you, and something is true to you, or you resonate, whatever phrase, or you're coherent, whatever phrase line you want to use to understand the concept, when you are in line and resonance and a match vibrationally, frequency, all of that with something, your heart knows it, and the understanding of it is literally like cellular. It's like, oh, I get that. Oh, I know that. Oh, that feels really good to me. That feels like coming home. That feels like a warm, fuzzy blanket. That feels like that beautiful polar fleece we love to wear in the winter here. So when you say joyologist and your clients are like, oh yeah, that's me, sign me up. Why? Because you're speaking directly to the heart. Totally.
Yes. Totally. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so much of again, everything I do is so firmly rooted in joy, right? Nutrition. When your gut health isn't in check, and that's your small intestine, because you've been feeding it things that it doesn't recognize, can't easily process, whatever, that really affects your hormone production, which affects your mental health. Like, joy is connected to all the things. It's like this thread that just kind of goes through. And, you know, on the mindset side, of course, where, you know, it's teaching people how they can let go of limiting beliefs, how they can break the emotional connection to food, how they can choose color versus black and white, or, you know, it's freezing versus aren't the dogs adorable, right? Like, it's teaching them that, you know, or abundance versus scarcity. That's one of my favorites, the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset. You know, why is it, you know, such and such always happens to me? Scarcity mindset. If we turned that around and taught you how to have an abundance mindset, abundance gets invited in, joy, right? So it's all connected. So I'm so glad you resonate with that and got it right off the bat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting. So again, my mind works in very funny ways some days. And I will confess, I am an emotional eater. Absolutely. I have my entire life used food for something. And part of that, I hate to say, was the way that I was raised. My parents came from a time of not having a lot in the war. And you were very careful not to waste. So that whole storyline was always presented like finish everything on your plate. So you develop into the clean plate club. Or, there's starving children in and then fill in the blank, pick whatever country you want. And so you eat whatever. So all the stories that you're raised with, the conditioning that you get raised with early on, or used to be you were a good girl, so here's a treat. You were a bad girl, so here's not a treat. Or, whatever the thing is, these stories come in really early on. And then I think the difficulty is we become adults who now turn to other things outside of looking within ourselves to comfort ourselves. We sort of like throw away the fact that we really are our own power and we really have that capacity to make ourselves feel better just by making certain choices. And we sort of default off to things like, oh, I'll just, whatever, have a second helping, have a cookie. I don't feel like walking today. Oh, nobody's going to notice that I've, jumped four sizes in my pants or whatever the thing is. There's this subtle, insidious conditioning and blending and melding of how do I feel about myself? How do I show up? And I see that in two ways. You see the people who are either potentially the emotional overeaters, but you also see it on the flip side, the emotional undereater, non-eater. So, it shows up or the
right.
Addictive physical activity person who runs and runs and runs and runs and runs or whatever the thing is. So at the end of the day, I think your connection of, yes, this is all threaded through your being. It's not just what do you put on your plate or how do you move your body, but it's also about what do you tell yourself and what do you believe of yourself and why?
Yep.
So I love that you bring this all through. And I know that you also have a methodology that you're trademarking to help your clients move through these challenges. Do you want to share?
I would love to. And I definitely want to say there is a camp of people who believe that this whole thing, this whole, hamster wheel that they're on when it comes to, weight loss and such is a food issue. And it's not. I mean, food is the weapon, but it's your brain. And all we have to do is reprogram the ego. So you talk about how you grew up and, you had to have the clean plate, which in my mind went to when my grandmother would talk about the pusher. Did you ever have a pusher on your plate, which was the bread to like scrape all the sauce off?
To stop all the stuff. Right, right. The sponge, the plate sponge, right?
The sponge, yeah. Yes. She calls it a pusher. I need a pusher. Colleen, can you get me a pusher? I'm on it. But what happens is, you're right. You are told these stories. You are conditioned. Either the stories are told to you or you tell them to yourself. The most empowering part of my journey was when I realized if I told myself that story, I can tell myself another story. I can undo this damage because I did it. And that isn't to shame myself or blame myself or anything, but it's recognizing like, I did it. I can undo it. This is awesome. Let's do it. So I really do believe the SNAP method found me, but what happened is I was, on my weight loss journey and that stemmed from a trauma and I had not handled the trauma well and gained about 50 pounds. And when I realized I needed to do better in order to heal my family, I started to lose the weight and I enlisted the help of a nutrition coach. And when I was about 35 pounds down, I asked him about helping me to create strategies so that I never had to go through this thing again. I'm kind of a one and done person. Let's not do like the yo-yo. And I had dieted before, but I had never. Geez, if you looked at those pictures, you would have never thought I needed to be on a diet, right? So it's like, this is the big one. Let's do it once. And he told me he wasn't my therapist. And I thought, wow, you missed it. You've clearly never had to lose weight if you think this is about food. So I started to develop these strategies myself, and the SNAP method was born. And it's an acronym. S stands for stop. And let me actually, I like just jumped into it, but let me first say, this is how you can identify the triggers. And we all know what those triggers are. Those are the things that like hit us in the chest, make us feel like we have to send a fiery text off to somebody, things that just spin us up. And generally we end up running to the pantry to self-soothe. So this is the scenario I'm talking about. But S, the first step, stands for stop. So when that trigger comes, you simply sit with it. And that's how you break the thought pattern. So this isn't the time to make a phone call to a friend and vent your face off, or text or send off a fiery email to somebody that you will later regret, right? This, just sit with it. And it's hard, right? In the beginning, you're like, I'm stewing. I just want to like scream at somebody. But you really can't. This is how we work through it. The next step is notice, and that's N. And what I want people to do is, I don't care if you've never journaled before, you're going to journal now, because this is the fastest way to get rid of these things. And I can promise you that. There is a psychological connection between your brain, your fingertips, the pen and the paper that you can't break, and you can't replicate it on a computer. But take out your journal and start to record all the symptoms that you're having. So you are having a visceral response, like sweaty palms, a lump in your throat, your heart starts to race. Everybody has something different. For me, it's that lump right at the base of my throat. I can feel it every time, like, here it comes. So record the visceral responses, you know, the physical reactions, and then record the story as you know it to be. This isn't the time to get judgy and question like, was I right about that? Should I have done this differently? I don't care. Write it down as you believe it to be, because that is your version of the truth. And it's really important to capture that. The next step is A, which is accept or analyze. And this is when you start to look back at your journal entry and separate the facts from the emotions, right? So like I have an example I can walk through to kind of articulate it, but my husband and I had this scenario one day where I didn't give him advance notice when I was coming home from the gym late, and he had to go to work early. And so like we were just kind of off schedule wise. And he got really at all. So when he calls with something like that, I know I'm in trouble. And I said, I can never do anything right. And that story haunted me that entire day. When I applied the SNAP method and I wrote down all the things that I had done right that day versus all the things I had done wrong, my done right list was like 70 items long. My done wrong list was one. And this isn't to say like I'm always right or I'm a perfectionist or anything like that. This is to say, factually, is it accurate that I can never do anything right? No. So that's what I mean by separating the facts from the emotions. Like, look at your entry for the truth. And when you do that, you're able to see the trigger for what it is, and you're able to begin to let it go. And it's a really remarkable process. The last step is P, which stands for practice gratitude. And this is my favorite step. You want to thank the trigger for coming, because it's your body's way of telling you that you have work to do. It's like a mirror held up in front of your face. It's something you just haven't mastered yet. And it doesn't mean, you know, you're less than or not as intelligent as the next person. There's just some story in there from probably the time that you were a child that we just need to pull on a little bit and then let it go. And so what happens is, once you've done this and you've walked through the triggers, you're able to then, you know, the next time that type of a story comes up, it just goes right by you. It's just gone. You don't have the emotional connection anymore. You don't have like, they're just words. They don't affect you. And so that's the SNAP method.
I love it because I think the some of the big pieces that you speak about are obviously acknowledge that we all have something that is a challenge or a trigger or sets off a recollection of a memory that has an emotion. And rather than just create an action, a default action, like when this is this, you do that. The fact that you're saying sit with this, just sit with it, is I think very critical. And the other piece that I hear you speak of that I think is also critical before we get to the gratefulness practice is to just take a look without the judgment. Just take a look at what is real and what is not real, not judging, do you think it's real or do you think it's not real? Actually just pulling the judgment piece, being unconditional as you look and evaluate what have you put in your journal. And I think that's really, really key to creating success for people as they move through these different pieces. And absolutely, I do feel, I feel a lot of our self-sabotage, whether that's in the form of self-sabotaging ourselves through our body, you know, we overeat or we over-under exercise or we don't sleep or we spend a lot of time in some other behavior, or, you know, the self-sabotage that we get through what is our mind speak? How do we speak to ourselves? What do we tell ourselves? I think there's various levels of, oh, I'll just call it self-flagellation, whether it's psychological, physical, emotional, whatever that is. And you're absolutely right. I think where many adults get a little bit, I don't want to say lost, but they're sort of at a crossroads is, oh, this was a tape that I had as a child. This is what I was conditioned to. And just having the awareness that you don't have to play the tape. You can change the tape.
No.
You can do whatever. Yep. That awareness alone, for some people who have been so caught up in the routine and the patterning, that alone can be a big wake-up call. Like, oh, gosh, you mean I actually have a choice here? I know that sounds really silly, but for some folks, you know, you don't know what you don't know till you do. And the idea and the concept of you have a choice, it could literally be like, oh, here's the light bulb moment. So it's, yes. I
and
love
when
that
you know better. You,
yeah.
When you know better,
you do better. Sure you do. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really want to say, you know, you touched on it too, in the practice gratitude step, I left out the part that one of the things I love about it is that it keeps you humble. Like, I have a news flash for you and everybody listening. You guys are all human. Like, news flash, you're not perfect. No one is. There is not a single person on this planet that doesn't have a limiting belief. Not one. Like, Gandhi had one. I don't know what it could possibly be, but he had one, right? We all have one. You know, for me, the big ones are gone and now they're just little annoyances. And I like barely, sometimes I work on them. Sometimes I don't, I just like don't care enough, but you can get to the other side and have that inner peace. This whole journey, no matter, you know, what you're looking to work on, has to be firmly rooted in joy and self-love. And if you don't have self-love, like that is the greatest gift you can give yourself. And it is, I have it. I never had it my entire life. I don't know why. I guess I just didn't know how. But man, I have it now and there is no one that can take that away from me. It is like one of my most precious gifts. But I also want to reinforce too about journaling. The pen doesn't lie. So even initially, as you're journaling, you know, you might think, well, this may not really be the truth. This may be like just my interpretation of the truth. Don't worry. The pen will get you there. The pen will, it's amazing. I have this story about a sibling that, you know, is very complicated. And I was writing it and I was like, is that really the story? Maybe it's this other thing. And the pen was like, nope, this is what it is. And it took me there. So just be patient with yourself. Allow your subconscious to raise the story up. You know, you might start journaling and say, I don't know what to write about. Write that, right? I'm journaling and I don't know what to write and I don't know what to say. and I think this is stupid or whatever you feel. And then your subconscious, before you know it, says, you're writing about this today. It's an amazing process.
So I'm really glad that you're saying this. And again, it's so funny, you know, you and I are having this conversation and I'm like, gosh, it's like she's in my head. How odd. Okay. So it's really very funny because it's again, funny, not funny. You will hear people say, well, you know, journaling, pen and paper is the best, is great because exactly what you're saying. It's an energetic transmutation. It's coming through the subconscious, through physically into your hand and out visually onto a piece of paper. And that's not quite the same as clicking on a keyboard. So mm-hmm. I am a highly resistant journaler. Confession. Okay. So everybody, have you learned anything about me so far today? I'm an emotional eater and I'm a highly resistant journaler. Are you noticing I'm a work in progress? Yes, I'm a work in progress. And that used to be very almost shameful to me because I was also raised like, be the best, learn the thing, do the thing, get the grade, get the certificates, you know, all of it. And over the decades, I'm like, okay, I can now say, you know, just like going to AA, I can now say I stink at journaling and I stink at, you know, managing certain food choices and whatever. And okay. And now I can own that with no shame, like, oh my gosh, you didn't get it right. I can just own it and say, hey, that's fine. Work in progress. We're good to go. But what yeah. I do find very interesting is I think I decided to try keyboard journaling, you know, on the keyboard, thinking, oh, that would be a more efficient way for me. I would just type out what was going through my mind. And I did this little experiment and I actually forced myself to sit down with a pen and the paper. And I will absolutely say there is a difference. The words may be yeah. the same, but there is a different energetic conveyance that occurs when you stop with the process of using a writing implement, be it a piece of chalk or a pencil or a pen or whatever, versus into your voice memo app on your phone and or your keyboard. So mm-hmm. That is part one of my aha. Part two of my aha is, as much as I say, I don't like to do it, I don't want to do it, what I find super interesting is that I really do like to write. And I really do, as you know, like to talk. And so the concept of conveying and sharing and expressing through literature, written word, verbal expression is definitely in place for me. So it makes me think, and why am I telling this story to the listeners? I want you to take this takeaway. This is important. It makes me stop myself and say, all right, Miel, what is your hang up about sitting down to write in a journal versus, hey, I want to write something else or I want to talk about something else. And it's taken a long time for me to actually own the fact that the hang up about the journal is the higher self, ego self piece of it for me. That I know by the journaling, I will be bringing things up that might be a little scary to look at, which I don't feel I get through a keyboard. And for those of us who are listening, I think our signal might be a little wonky. So I'm going to hit pause and I'm going to jump back on and grab Colleen and we're going to cut and paste. And through the magic of IT, the recording's back in progress. Here we go. So sorry, that's how technology works, especially when you live in the Northeast and you have bad weather or the guys are trying to get the lines upgraded. Yeah, good luck with that. So here we are. We're back. We have a signal. And I was just saying my aha moment for journaling was that my resistance to journaling isn't about the journaling. My resistance to journaling absolutely is, was, and probably will continue to be until I work through it, really sitting with my deepest, darkest, quote unquote, fears or blocks. Yeah. And it's my ego trying to keep me safe and protected and say, no, don't write that down. Don't talk about that. No, we don't talk about those things. Whereas my heart's like, yeah, we sure as heck talk about those things. Let's do this. And so there I am with the blank piece of paper and the pen, kind of tapping it on the table, like, what to do? So I appreciate your reiteration of just freaking write it down. It's important.
Yeah. And you know, I'm going to give you, I'll give you all the grace in the world. Like every single day for the rest of your life, you've got to give yourself grace. This is decades of conditioning that now we need to unlearn, right? Or redirect. And that takes a little bit of time, but I'll tell you, it doesn't take as long as you think, and it doesn't end up being as scary as we think it's going to be when you start to unpack it and you realize, huh, that, is that right? Right? You just start to, it's like, you almost get a little addicted to it. Like, you're like, now what can I learn? Now what can I change? Right? It, and it's really exciting, but it doesn't, a lot of people will choose to stay stuck.
Yes.
Because they feel like it is like reliving the trauma or reliving the difficult times. But I promise you, it'll lead you to a far better place than anything you could have ever imagined when you let those stories go. It's unbelievable. And you feel lighter. Your heart is lighter. Your heart and your head get connected because they're out of alignment, as you just said. Right? It's like, it ends up being just this, you know, like journey of wonder that you could never have imagined would be so gratifying. So I'm glad, you know, you're getting there. I think everybody should, I hope everybody, you know, tries it because we only live once. And I always tell people, you have a number of days left. It might be 3, it might be 3,000. I have no idea. I hope it's more than 3. But if it's 3, act as though it's 3, right? Let's like focus on what really matters and get rid of that garbage that has never really served you and is just helping to keep you stuck.
I think stuckness is a difficult place for many people, partly because of exactly what you're saying. I think so, you know, fear, there's basically two major directions you can go. And interesting, you know, they both have 4 letters. And it's funny how things that have 4 letters have very strong associations for us. Very strong, yeah. Both positive and negative. But, you know, let's just look at the two basics. There's fear and there's love. They're both 4 letters. Take your pick, right? And I find that for some folks, and I will say myself included in certain components of my life, that we hold on to the fear because at least it's not nice, but we know it. It's sort of like, is the devil you know better than the devil you don't know, so to speak, that old adage. And I think that stuckness that many people feel trapped in is because of the fear of the unknown, not necessarily the fear of what happens mm-hmm. when I let go of the fear. It's more if I let go of the fear, which is the only thing I know, and that's what I've literally chosen to define myself by, and I let that go, then who am I? What am I? You know, what's out in the unknown? That am I going to be free floating in Never Never? The fear of that for some people, as opposed to, and this brings us, you know, 360 back to how we started this conversation. It's a choice to say, is my fear of the unknown, is my fear of what happens if I let go of all the old rhetoric, is that a bigger fear because now you think you're going to be defined by some other direction, as opposed to if I just let go of the fear, then I'm enveloped in the wholeness of love, which is really what's on the other side. That's, you know, I just let the big cat out of the bag, man. Yeah. What's on the other side of fear of the unknown and fear of the what happens if I leave my comfort zone and my box? Hello, the other 4-letter word. It's called love. And how do we get there? You have to slowly be trusting that you're supported and you're loved. And is it a smooth road? Well, no, not
I
always.
Say this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear, it is true. The opposite of fear is love. And I had a post last week that I, you know, I love to get, excuse me, vulnerable because I don't know, people seem to need it. So I truly believe love is the answer to everything. Love mm-hmm. is what got us out of our trauma where we didn't have doctors or therapists or anybody that would help us. We decided to love on the situation every which way, no matter what was going on where, you know, I felt like I didn't have the energy to be able to do it that day, I did it anyway. And I'm telling you, it has brought us to a far better place. I had this journal entry. I can read it if you want to hear it, but it basically, you know, illustrates this point that, you know, you can choose to look at color or black and white, anger and frustration, or love and joy, right? It's, again, you know, back to kind of like walking my dog, both scenarios are true, but I choose the love angle because that's lighter, it's more fun, I feel better with it. I had a situation just with one of my kids a couple of months ago where he's like, I think I want to drop out of college. And I had a heart attack. I was like, we don't do that. Like, again, going back to your limiting beliefs, I was raised, you graduate high school, you go to college, you get married, you have kids, in that order, nothing else, right? Irish Catholic. And I was like, wow, what happens if he doesn't go to school? I don't know. He has a plan, but not everybody out there has to go to college or wants to go to college or needs to go to college. And that never, I swear to you, you can call me all kinds of names, naive probably being one of them, but it never occurred to me there was another way, because that's the way I did it. That's the way my husband did it. That's the way that we were raising them to do it. And I finally said to him, you know, because we were having a lot of discussions about it, some of them heated. I was finally like, I'm just going to love on you. So you make the decisions you need to make that are right for you. Only you know what those are. And we're just going to love and support you through it. How about that? And he was sort of like, are you dying? Is everything okay? That's not how mom talks, right? It's, but that is easier to do, but that also is his decision to make. It's his life. He can do whatever he wants. And by the way, he might come back 2 years from now and say, now I'm ready to go to college, and he will, but he might not. And that's okay too. So I agree with you. You choose love every single time and wait until you see how less stressful your life is and you get more joy out of it because you have more headspace to be present.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you acknowledge, you said, well, that wasn't my plan for him. And what I heard in my own mind, because of course my parents had the same plan for me, was that's an exact accurate, if you were to put that in your journal, that's a fact. The fact is that was not my plan for him. But here's the reality, which is also a fact. It's not your job to have a plan for him. It's his job to have right. his own idea of what his plan for him is. And it's your job to love him through yep. that, whether it matches your idea or not. Because you then said the next, one of my next favorite phrases, which is, could I see this another way? Why? Because there are infinite possibilities of the way. And what difference does it make whether it looks like a college degree or a trade job or no job or entrepreneurship or volunteering or just being a loving human being on earth for the time that you're here? It's so interesting that we get so bogged down with ideals and expectations and judgments. And it is not truly necessarily any wrongdoing. It is strictly, this is what we were conditioned and taught, but that doesn't make it necessarily the correct thing or appropriate for every human right. being. And with that, I mean, right. I think the answer is correct. You know, I kind of say, and people who've listened to me, I say this a lot, you know, not only do I feel like you go through the world and you do your best job to be, you know, the best version of yourself you can be. And in that way, when you learn to really come home to yourself and love yourself and listen to your heart and be in the resonance, be in the head and the heart resonance will present somatically, physically to the physical being resonance. You, when the things all kind of get lined up, then the struggle for what do we do? How do I take care of my body? How do I nourish my heart and my soul and my mind? Those pieces become a lot less complex when things are a little bit more lined up and we let go of the old conditioning. So I think to me, I often say, I don't really care what your question is. Love is your answer. Like, no matter what you ask me, when you pare it all down and you peel away all the junk, at the bottom of that, the answer is still going to be the same. Love is the answer. Love is the answer that fixes and cures and takes care of and undoes and cleanses and washes and supports and nurtures everything. Everything, everything, everything. And how do we get there? Yeah. You know, I mean, there's lots of ways you can get to the ocean. Some of us may drive through 50 states to get there. Some of us may drive to 2 miles. Some of us may get there on horseback. Some of us may walk. But, you know, there are many paths to get to the ultimate place that we seek. And if the place that you seek, which is your birthright, which is love and joy, there are lots of ways to get there. And so I'm really grateful you've developed SNAP. I'm grateful that you found a way to share your gifts with the collective, to show them these are the things you can learn and see and do to make the choices so you can have a life of joy. It's so needed, so needed. I love this conversation. So as we get close to the end of our time, tell me, how can our guests find you? How can they work with you to bring more joy into their world?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram is the easiest way to find me, at the Colleen Greco. Colleen is with one L, unique spelling. Don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm happy to set up an introductory call with anybody to see if I'm able to help them. They can also subscribe to my show, Joy Unleashed. They can find that on my YouTube channel most easily. That's the Colleen Greco again. And just thank you so much for having me. I think this was an awesome conversation. You know, these kind of conversations just light me up. I love it when somebody gets it and I don't have to spend time like teaching anything. We can just have a conversation and it's like, yeah. And the more we talk, the more excited I get. So
it is, because I think when you align with somebody that's kind of on the same page with you, it amplifies the expression of the thing. So, you know, I love that. And so this has been such a great conversation. I'm going to put all of your contacts right into the show notes, and I would love to continue this conversation again and see, where are we down the road? What else are you developing? What else is out there new? And how cool that people can access you both audio, podcast, and video YouTube. It's fabulous. So I'm just so grateful that you took your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.